And welcome to today's episode of Tranquil Awakenings with me, Debbie Ison. On today's episode, I will be in conversation with Kirsty Sosick of Aura Wellbeing. We will be talking about belief coding, nutrition, and how overcoming your limiting beliefs can really help you to shift towards a bright and positive future. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Thank you ever so much for being here. I've known of you and have seen you for about 10 years now because you are very, very knowledgeable. You've trained in lots of different things that I've trained in. So it's great to actually sit down and have a proper chat with you today. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Kirsty Sosick. I have trained in, like you say, many things that you've trained in. I've trained in hypnotherapy, neuro-linguistic programming. I'm a trained nutrition advisor. And I have also trained in Reiki with yourself. And I've also trained in belief coding as well. So that is my most recent of modalities that I've put into the toolbox, shall we say.
Amazing. So I don't know really a lot about belief coding. So I'm very curious. What is it?
Yes, so it is. It's an amazing tool. It's a really simple technique that basically combines a lot of different modalities into a process. Mm-hmm. And it what it does is it searches for the negative beliefs that are keeping you stuck in life.
Yep.
Okay. So sometimes we go through a negative experience, or we have a block, something that we just can't get past. And what belief coding does is it finds out what is going on underneath that. What was the situation that caused that to become a problem? What is the negative belief? Heal the experience, which will then allow you to code in a new belief that's supportive. And usually that's why affirmations don't work, because people can say, I love myself, I'm worthy, I am financially abundant, but they don't feel it, they don't mean it, because there's something underneath that's actually contradicting that, shall we say, contradicting it. And that's what it does. It finds out what is that thing that's blocking you.
Yes.
So I found it fantastic for me. It's gone another layer deeper for me to start thinking about what I'm actually believing, really.
Yeah.
I've used a lot of the tools over the past, gosh, however many years now, to deal with specific events that I knew of, whereas belief coding, I'm dealing with a problem that I have today, and it's taking me back somewhere that I didn't even know I had that problem, and then it's just amazing how it just changes how you think and feel.
Yep. It's so important, isn't it? Those underlying beliefs have such a huge impact on our lives, and it's been quite interesting my journey recently, because I'm always reflecting on myself, and by chance, one day on my past life course recently, one of the students was unwell. So I had to step in and be a client. And I didn't realise, but a limiting belief that came up for me that I had was that, like, I need to work hard in order to get anything. Yeah. And if I didn't work really hard, then actually I would not be safe. I wouldn't have abundance. I wouldn't have all of these other things. And I didn't realise that programme was running.
Yeah.
And it made me think, do you know what? For the whole of my life, I've just worked excessively. And I do love my work.
Yeah.
But I was actually getting to the point of burnout.
Yeah.
And by changing that belief system, so we did some work, it's just allowed me to chill out a little bit. And I'm still working hard, but it's because I'm passionate about it. But I'm all sort of recognising there's a cutoff. I'm identifying all of a sudden my body's tired, or I need a break, or I need some exercise or fresh air or whatever it is. It become extreme.
Yeah.
And actually the abundance is flowing more as well. So it's really fascinating. Yeah. So I'm really intrigued by what you're doing.
Yeah. It's honestly amazing. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of beliefs that I found that had stopped me really starting a business and starting to do something that I was passionate about to help others.
Yep.
And that's one of my main focuses when I was doing the course, was to get rid of those beliefs. And I found that I was feeling like I wasn't good enough. That I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And just even with my words as well, I found that I was scared to speak out. Yeah. I was scared to be judged. And of course, then you think, well, why would I have ever started a business if I was thinking I was going to be judged and it wouldn't work and fear of failure? And actually getting through them has made me really, really, like, I don't know the word, but one lane sighted, you know. Now it's like, right, this is the goal and I'm going forwards mm-hmm. with it rather than stopping, because that's what I used to do. I used to be have an idea and then stop myself from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really good.
That's amazing. And I could tell the difference in you, because like I say, we do keep coming across each other over the years, and sometimes it can be a couple of years since we've seen each other, sometimes it can be a few months. But even when I saw you a few months ago, there's a huge difference in your energy and the way that you are holding yourself this evening, the confidence in your voice, the way you're delivering. It does feel very forward focused in terms of the energy and everything you're giving. So that's fascinating to see and notice those changes within you.
Yeah.
So well done. That's amazing. Because you've been on quite a journey, haven't you?
Yes. It has been a huge journey. Yeah.
So I remember hearing about you before I met you. I think I heard about you first probably from my Reiki master, Di. I think she'd met you on some training years and years ago.
Yeah.
And then I heard about you from other people as well. And you came into this like therapy side of things very, very young with the training side, didn't you?
Yes. I think I was around 20, 21 at the time,
mm-hmm.
possibly. 21 to 22, I think. So yeah, I started training then.
Wow.
And it was because I'd gone through a big change in my reality. So when I was 18, I got sick
mm-hmm.
and I ended up in hospital. And unfortunately, whatever medication I had at the time, it sort of messed my body up a little bit, because I didn't actually need the medication I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And my immune system got shut down and I was catching this, that and the other all the time. And I just went from being quite a really healthy person to just being sick all of the time.
Okay.
And it went on and on and on, to the point where I was having several tests. The doctors didn't really know what was going on with mm-hmm. me, and I was getting really scared.
Yeah.
And I started getting scared of my body, really, like what was going on, what were they going to find. So it all started with a Google search, as it does. And I just typed into Google how to stop being fearful or something like that. And it came up with hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went along to see a lady in Saxelby, and I sat down with her and I told her what was going on with me at the moment mm-hmm. and that was fearful. And the first thing she said to me was, have you been through a lot of trauma?
Ah.
And I said, yeah, but I don't see how that's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm just going to work with that. And yep. I thought, okay. And I just trusted her. I didn't know why, but I just trusted her and I went with it. And actually, we worked through a lot of my past childhood, shall we say, traumas.
Yeah.
Because I had quite a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And each session that I went through and started to heal those memories, started to heal that experience, I found that my symptoms were getting better.
Amazing.
And I was feeling happier, and I was mm-hmm. I could feel a huge shift in myself, and something just sparked in me thinking, I need to help other people with this.
Yep.
I just and like a knowing
mm-hmm.
and she helped me more than anything had ever helped me.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, there's something in this. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. And it opened up my mind about yep. what the mind is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be like, what pill can I take to get rid of this problem?
Yeah.
And then I went, actually, okay, what's going on with me?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I holding stress? What, you know, and it was a huge shift, and it actually empowered me massively with my health.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. And she lent me a couple of her books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd read Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yep.
Jill Edwards, Conscious Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading into different things that they had done to help themselves with their own health.
Yeah.
And then I found courses.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on course after course after course. And that's where my journey sort of began, really, with hypnotherapy, NLP, mm-hmm. EFT. And that's really where it started.
Amazing. So have you found learning all of those skills has had an impact on your life and how you deal with things?
Massively. Now, it was interesting because when I first learned the techniques, I didn't really use them on myself so much.
Mm-hmm.
I did in the training, but then I just wanted to go out and help people.
Yep.
So I put all my effort into helping people, and I had some clients, we had some amazing results, but I didn't really do the inner work then. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I missed and probably would have saved me a few years down the line if I had. But yes, I kind of stopped working on me, trying to work on others. Mm-hmm. And then not that long after, I met my now husband, we had a baby. So everything just took a back seat, really.
Yeah.
And it's only really since having him that I kind of got pushed back into it a bit. Mm-hmm. And then I've really started doing the inner work. And
amazing.
That's had a massive impact on me, because it's all well and good knowing it, but if you're not putting it into practice, it's not going to have the same effect. And
absolutely.
Yeah, then it started to become something that I do now all the time. Mm-hmm. Something that, even just the way I am with my son, I always try and make sure that I'm supporting him, and mm-hmm. he knows, you know, how to support himself if he feels, you know, a bit out of sorts. And yeah,
that's
it's
amazing.
Been really nice to embed into not just my life, but even my husband. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always something you can put into it.
Absolutely. And I think, like you say, it's really important to do that inner work, because otherwise you're still sort of almost a victim to your circumstances, external environment, things that are happening to you. When you start working on yourself, you become empowered, and it gives you choice and flexibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I've hit a wall, or I've been going through something big, you know, traumatic, heavy, you know, anything, I've had a tool. I've had a tool to be able to get out of it. And that's amazing. And it's honestly life-changing. When you have that empowerment, you know, there's so much more you can do.
Yes, absolutely. So what was it then? Like, what got you to that point where you thought, actually, do you know what? I really need to do the inner work now.
I think it was just after I had my son, I was quite poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for whatever reason, the birth didn't go, you know, to plan.
Yep.
And I had a bit of spinal leakage or something, so I was quite dizzy and sick. So I was going through like another sort of phase of where I wasn't feeling very well.
Yep.
And that triggered up a few feelings from before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh my gosh, my body. And then I thought, okay, what's going on here?
Yep.
And I thought, do the work. Mm-hmm. But not only that, I'd always done like emotional work.
Yep.
But I'd never done anything physical. Mm-hmm. And my body was obviously crying out for some attention.
Yeah.
So then I really started looking into nutrition and more physical side. And that's sort of what started me doing more physical work on myself, to where I got myself to a really healthy point.
Brilliant.
Probably healthier than I have been for years and years and years. And then I started bringing back in the more emotional stuff as well, because it ignited again that passion. Like, I really want to start doing this for others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never really felt probably good enough to do it. I was this person, like, I need to learn more. I need another course. I need to know more, because I wanted to be the best for somebody else.
Yes.
I didn't ever want to let anyone down.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when I started doing belief coding, which was that other course, that made me realize, do you know what? Everything's already there. It was just that belief that I wasn't good enough as I was. And that was a big, big one for me. I was able to break that down. And then I was like, of course I'm good enough to do this. And then there wasn't that barrier anymore. I didn't keep hitting procrastination or avoidance or perfectionism, which were all these little signs that I was thinking, oh, it's just whatever reason. But actually, these were all the things that I was doing to stop myself from moving forward.
Yes.
So that's sort of where it kind of hit off, really.
Mm-hmm. But that's amazing. I think what you've said, those limiting beliefs, most people I know that I've come across, not just clients, but most people in day-to-day life, tend to have those same or similar limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what a shame it is that so many of us are held back and restricted in our lives and don't do the things we're passionate about, don't fulfill our potential, because we've been held back by beliefs that either have happened because of circumstances that have happened to us, or they've been embedded by other people.
Yes.
They're other people's limiting beliefs that they then pushed onto us without our conscious knowledge. So I think it's great that you're doing that, because the more we can shift those limiting beliefs, the more we all reach our potential.
Absolutely. And it is. It's like peeling an onion, like layer by layer. You just, it's like, wow. But even top performers, they all feel at some point in their life, they weren't good enough, you know, or it's even if they're really successful and then they want to hit that next level in their business, they all have the same fears. And that was amazing to actually witness in different circles, thinking, okay, it's not just me, you know, we've all had it.
Yep.
But it's, yeah, it's whether you want to do something about that. And then there are some people that would just feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yep.
But then other people, they feel the fear and they stop. And that was me. And yeah, it's like you say, it's just amazing to have a tool to be able to break that down and say, okay, bye fear, hello confidence, and let's do it.
This is why I love conversations like this, because it's even just bringing it to conscious awareness. There'll be people listening to this thinking, hang on a minute, maybe I've got some limiting beliefs that are underneath this. What's actually going on?
Yeah.
What do I need to shift? And talking to you now, I can completely relate to that. As you've said, at different phases of my career, when I was starting out, it was massive.
Yeah.
But then each time I've sort of stepped up another level or expanded or started doing something different, those fears and those doubts and those limitations still creep back in. And I really have to challenge myself to push through them. But it's tricky. So I think having a practitioner like yourself to work through those things makes it so much easier. You've got that support.
Yeah, definitely. And then what I like about it is it gets rid of that icky feeling like, this is hard, but I'm going to have to just get through it. It actually takes that bit away.
Yeah.
And you think, you go from this place where like, okay, this is difficult, this is hard, I don't really want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, to then feeling, I'm excited to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why did I even feel scared in the first place? And that's what I love about it, because, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not the person to go and push through fear if I'm still feeling fear.
Yeah.
Whereas if I get rid of the fear, then it just opens me up.
It's a lot easier, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If the fear's gone,
Yeah.
But like you said, there's always something underneath that's causing that or creating that. And it goes back to the belief systems.
Yeah,
amazing.
Absolutely.
So in terms of obviously client-wise, what do you tend to like to focus on?
So I've had a bit of everything, really.
Yeah.
I haven't niched in any one particular area, although health is always going to be where my passion is. But I've helped people, you know, with lack of motivation to eat healthy or exercise, relationship problems, people with like repetitive thoughts from the past, money blocks. I had a lot of people that I worked with during my training on success blocks in their business, which was interesting because that's what I was working through. And I've always found when I work with clients, I get people that are reflecting me.
Interesting, yep.
So when I started doing hypnotherapy and NLP way back when, had a lot of people coming to see me with anxiety, and that's what I was overcoming at the time. So yeah, it was really interesting what I was getting.
And I always think that happens, like I say to different therapists, you tend to get what you need, or it tends to be carved out for you. And I mean, I haven't had it so much that clients reflect back what's going on with me, but I've always had bizarre and complex thrown at me. That seems to be my unofficial niche. But it's fascinating. I'll have a span of a couple of weeks from it, and I'll get every client with the same presenting issue, completely different ways of dealing with it. So say when I first qualified, I got loads and loads of weight loss for ages.
Yeah.
And then I got loads and loads of people for phobias. And then I got a run of people with smoking. Now I get all sorts of strange and interesting things. So for a little while ago, I was talking to a friend the other day, and it's when I was doing past life work.
Yeah.
And over the space of 2 weeks, I had five different people that all had past lives to do with baby farming. And
you
think, well, that's really bizarre, but all in this short space of time, it kept being presented. So I was like, oh, I obviously need to know about this or learn about it. Not ever sure why that specific one came through, but I think the universe lines it up. So for me, I think I was always meant to be a trainer.
Yeah.
So it's always given me, right, come on, let's throw you in the deep end then, so that you've got the knowledge and you've got the awareness to then teach your students.
Yeah, giving you that kind of eclectic kind of experience.
But it sounds like for you, you've always been given what you need for your own growth as well as the clients, which is amazing.
It's very strange. Honestly, it always reflects back in me. It would be something that I'm passionate about. So where I've had people with health stuff, even when I did not so much a masterclass, it was a program I was doing, and I was practicing doing some work with my husband, and he threw like a curveball at me, and he didn't go the normal route, should we say.
Yeah.
And the very next day when I was doing the program, of course, 3 out of the 4 people went the other way.
Wow.
And it was really interesting that I'd had that before doing it. So, yeah, it always seems to throw me things that I need or are reflective of what's going to happen, or mm-hmm. it's very strange.
It's amazing, yeah. isn't it? But I love the way it all just aligns. Yeah. And I think the more you do this type of work, the more you become aware of like all the possibilities that are around us and all the potentials that are yeah. presented to us. It's so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So you said obviously you looked at nutrition quite a lot. How mm-hmm. do you tend to incorporate that into what you do?
So I'm currently working on a program actually okay. where we're going to incorporate mind and body, mm-hmm. Looking at chronic conditions.
Yep.
So what we'd be looking at there is people's levels of stress, past negative experiences that could be producing some of that stress, mm-hmm. which will then in turn either create or exacerbate symptoms. And then also looking at the diet. So what in the diet is causing inflammation, or what in the diet mm-hmm. is causing any of the symptoms to be manifesting, whether yep. it's lack of nutrition, whether it's more what they're putting in, but what they maybe need to take out.
Yeah.
So that I'm working on at the minute in the background. But yeah, also if I've had a client recently that had a lack of motivation to eat healthy, mm-hmm. they knew exactly what to do. They were an avid gym goer, mm-hmm. Got that nailed, but just couldn't stick to the healthy eating plan. And they also hated cooking. So we worked through that, and there was a big stressor in their life that actually linked back to that. Mm-hmm. So we were able to code in new beliefs, but then also it became apparent just through our conversation that there was some work needed nutritionally as well yeah. to support them, because of they were feeling tiredness that mm-hmm. was impacting them to be able to want to do
right.
the prepping and mm-hmm. this, that and the other. And that was linking down to their diet.
Yeah.
So it kind of just naturally flows in. I can sort mm-hmm. of see what someone's needing, what they're not needing. And yeah, it just kind of flows in yeah. where it's needed.
Amazing. I mean, it's so important, isn't it, diet? And it's one of those things that, say, if I've got somebody coming for anxiety or stress or anything, I will always ask about what their diet's like and what their alcohol intake is like. And because mm-hmm. sometimes there is something that's going on in the mind, but sometimes it can be rooted in the body or a mix of the two. I mean, yeah. the most noticeable one I had was when I was very early on in my career, really drilled it home to me that I always needed to ask about that, mm-hmm. was I had this individual that came to me and they were having palpitations. They felt high levels of anxiety. They were getting headaches from that. They were struggling to sleep. They were all over the place.
Yeah.
They'd been to A&E a few times because they thought they were dying because of this, and
yeah.
decided it was anxiety. When it got to asking about their diet, quite quickly discovered that all they drank every day was energy drinks. Yes, and they were having 9 or 10 energy drinks a day yeah. and nothing else. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Okay, and even I knew, with limited nutritional knowledge at the time, I'd only been doing the business for about a year. I think the problem is here, you're addicted to energy drinks.
Yeah.
And I think this will be causing some of the physical symptoms. What we need to do is we need to get you off the energy drinks first and then see what happens to your body. And if there's still anxiety-based issues going on, we can then address them.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually what we did was a session on losing that addiction.
Yeah.
And as soon as they came off all of the energy drinks, they didn't have anxiety anymore. I can imagine
they felt brilliant. Yeah.
Their heart felt back to normal. They were sleeping. They were more settled. They weren't agitated all yeah. the time. So, I mean, that was an extreme example. Sometimes it can be something that most people get on all right with, but for some reason, body disagrees. Yeah. Do you say that's the case?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Everyone's individual. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, how interesting. So obviously, you've incorporated sort of belief coding and nutrition. How do your other bits tend to feed into what you do?
So there are elements of NLP within belief coding. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just is in there anyway. And with the hypnotherapy, I like to sort of give clients a recording afterwards, just oh, nice. So they can really embed the new beliefs as well. Mm-hmm. I just find it really helps to have that another layer.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest things that I found in my healing journey was actually the things that really work well mm-hmm. are the repetitive positive behaviors.
Interesting.
So when we repeat mm-hmm. the new behavior, the desired outcome, you know, that is what really makes it yeah. stick. Because it can be really, really good for clients sometimes that they'll find that they'll do something, even if it's for a year, they'll do it, mm-hmm. and then it might slip.
Yeah.
But actually, if it's repeated enough, it becomes part of mm-hmm. their new way of being. It's I mean, you know yourself, you create new neural pathways. So it's just really embedding that. So I like to sort of add that in as like a supportive.
And that makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because how we become accomplished at anything in our lives, whether it is the basic things of like learning how to walk when we were little or learning how to write at school, is that repetition. It's doing it over and over again. And there's lots of things we had to do over and over again. We're at that conscious level, like brushing our teeth, really focusing on it, until it then goes to that unconscious competence. It just becomes something you do.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes because we live such a busy life and we're always going from one thing to the next, it's quite fast paced with social media, work, everything nowadays. Sometimes it's remembering actually we do need that repetition. We do need to take that time.
Yeah.
And I know that's really important with me and my diet. So my diet does slip, but something that I do religiously is my breakfast routine.
Yeah.
Where I'm having my lemon water, my celery juice, my smoothie, because that works really well for my body.
Yeah.
When I initially did that, I did that for a few months and then we moved house and it slipped and I didn't do it for 6 months and I started to notice the impact.
Yeah.
And then it was a bit stop start. But once I really established that routine and practiced it,
yeah,
it's now just something
like second nature
every single day. And I love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely practicing. So obviously you've got all of these skills now and you've obviously been working really, really hard on yourself. What sort of obstacles have you found along the way?
good question. I would say that, so I found that when I was younger, I had a lot of things that were quite traumatic, quite hard. I'd gone through separation issues, abandonment issues, abuse, and I ran away from all of my problems when I was younger. That was the way that I coped.
Yep.
I just ran away. And when I actually first moved to Lincoln, I was only 14. And I was honestly scared of people at that point because of everything I'd gone through. I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to put myself in any situation where I could be hurt again. So I kind of kept myself to myself and I really struggled for a while with that and I had no real direction. I was scared to go to school. I did try to go to a school and I just couldn't get into it. So I actually ended up having homeschooling for a period, which I needed at that time in my life and I'm grateful for it now. And like I say, I don't feel like my life really, really started until I really hit 18 and I needed to get my life together. I went from being 14 to like not wanting to know anyone, not wanting to really put myself out in the open at all, to just going off the rails. I had a really, really bad few years where I turned to drink, drugs, all sorts. To get over everything that was going on. I was so unhappy that I was trying to do anything for that temporary relief. And I had a few wobbly years till I was about 16. And then I moved into town and I started doing like an entry to employment program type thing. And started getting some qualifications under my belt, which I kind of missed out on. And through that, I started to sort of come away from that kind of dark place that I was in a bit. And my first saving grace that I had was getting an apprenticeship at a law firm.
Right.
That did something to me, and I don't know how, but it changed my mindset.
Yep.
I went into there and I saw all these well-to-do people, lovely people, clever people. And I looked at them and I thought, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I want more for myself. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to ruin my life, no matter what I'd gone through. And so I put myself into work. I started getting work friends. You know, I really started to build a life for myself where I didn't have one before. And I moved around a lot as a kid, so I never really had roots anywhere.
Yeah.
And this was the first place where I felt like I belonged somewhere, which was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
So I did really well there. They put me on loads of different courses. I got loads of qualifications there, which was fab. And they believed in me. And I think that was the first time I really felt like someone believed in me. So that was a big thing. But then I think I must have been there for a good 5 years, maybe. 4 or 5 years. But during that time, I got sick. So that's where I started to get poorly. And obviously it was meant to happen. Yeah. I really do believe that it was meant to put me on my path. And I did start to then open up. Like I said, I went to see someone. I started working through all that stuff. Because whilst I was shaping that new life, I still had this part of me that just wanted to go and party and kind of escape from reality a little bit. So he'd still see me in town having drinks with friends and being a bit over the top. And that it really started to shape me. And I noticed a big difference in my personality, which I thought was something that was static.
Yeah.
But actually I realized I'm not this person that I'm being. And I was able to find my way back to myself.
Amazing.
And one of the things that really, really, it was something that even I thought of recently was I was starting to find my way back to this lovely little, not little girl, but this lovely person that I was before all the stuff that had happened to me. And I thought, wow, you know, it was like finding myself again. I went through a big, big journey throughout the, you know, everything I did with the therapies and, you know, even having clients and being a wife and being a mom and everything that meant. I started to find out who I was.
Brilliant.
And I think I never knew that growing up because I had to move around so much and I had different friends and I never settled and everything that I went through, I never belonged anywhere. Yeah. And I really started to find out who I was. So that was another thing that, you know, was huge for me. So it was, yeah, it was, a, yeah, like I said, there's many, many facets to my story, but
I think having that sense of identity of who you really are and that sense of belonging is so incredibly important for health and well-being, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's innate, really, because we all have this sense of belonging.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tribal thing. You know, if we don't belong, we're cast out, we could die in tribal times.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's why everyone also has that worry that they're not good enough, that they don't fit in, that they'll be judged, because there's this need to belong. And yeah, unfortunately, because of things that I'd went through and the way that things panned out for me, you know, in my younger years, I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's been lovely to have that journey to actually realize that I didn't need anything else. I just needed to know who I was.
Yep.
And I found that was really fantastic for me. And just, yeah, it shaped me and it made me become the person I am now.
Yeah.
And I think everyone I know that's been through a lot always says that everything happens for a reason and we are who we are because of the things that we've been through.
Yeah.
I know that my heart wouldn't be as kind as it was if I hadn't been through the things that I'd been through. I know I wouldn't care as much about people as I do if I hadn't been through those things. So, for me, it's all happened for a reason and I'm really grateful and I'm kind of happy that I can be grateful about the past because it's taught me so much. You know, it taught me maybe not to be so nice at times and to, you know, protect my energy and to have a voice. And it's taught me to be who I am.
Yeah.
Or, you know, without worrying about what people think of me. And yeah, there's been so many things that it's helped me with. And even today, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, I learn so much wherever I am, and I probably didn't notice that back, you know, through the years, but I really realize it now. I know, you know, I learn off watching other people. I learn things, you know, at work. I learn things from my husband. I learn things from my child. You know, he teaches me things daily, but I'm really aware of that now. And I really take on board those lessons, and I always use it to better myself.
Yeah,
because to me the ultimate thing for me is happiness. So any way that I can create more happiness in my life, I'm always embodying that.
That's amazing. And I think it's a real credit to you. Obviously you're in this place now. You've obviously put in a lot of work and a lot of effort to get there. And that's a really brave thing to do. So well done. I mean, I think if there's anybody listening now that maybe has thought, oh, do you know what you're talking about, like who you really are, your true self, your identity, I don't think many people know that because they've been so conditioned by other people's beliefs, whether it's their parents, whether it's their teachers, whether it's their peers, whether it's societal expectations. What could you say to somebody now that's thinking, oh gosh, I'm not quite sure who I am, where do I even begin? Where do they begin?
Yeah. One thing I found really helpful for me is to think back to when you were a child. What did you love doing?
Yeah.
For me, I loved singing. I loved dancing. I was very creative. Mm-hmm. You were those things for a reason.
Yep.
And I always, I believe that that's your true nature. You know, you have these passions for a reason. So go back to that. What did you enjoy? You know, because even through my darkest times, it was great times. And I know that that was my essence back then. Mm-hmm. And whilst I don't actively go dance and sing as my passion these days, I do it at home. But that creative part of me is there. And I remember that it's there. And I use that in what I do daily now, that, you know, that creative part of me lights me up. So that becomes part of something I do. Mm-hmm. The other thing as well is, you know, I used to think that I had to have a hobby. You know, I had to have a hobby. But you don't have to have a hobby, but what is it that lights you up? What makes you feel good? What did you love as a child? They're good questions to start with.
Absolutely.
And then thinking about what do you want in your life? Because we only get one life.
Yeah.
We only get one life. So I know people think it's cheesy to think, you know, you get one life, what do you want? You know, dream big, go for it. But really, it's so true.
And it goes so fast, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well? I nearly lost my life once before. And I really do think if you're not going to live it, you'll get to the point where you regret the decisions and the things that you didn't do. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's finding those passions and just going with it and just trusting it.
Yeah.
You know, and not being afraid to be you. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big one. You know, we can get into that people-pleasing thing all the time and try and do everything for everybody else.
Yeah.
But does that make you happy? Mm-hmm. It's a good question to ask.
It's a really good question to ask. And I think what you're saying really makes a difference between simply existing and actually living.
Mm.
That's so important.
Yeah. And you don't have to have these big dreams that you want to be an actress or a singer or, you know, a millionaire. You could just want, you know, a really nice, happy, cozy life with your pet. Or maybe you just want, you know, a partner, children, or maybe you just whatever it is that you want, go for it, you know? Don't be afraid to go for it, whatever it is. Just make sure that you're doing what makes you happy.
And even like as you were talking then, little things popped into my mind, which I love these links. I feel like the conversations are always meant to occur.
Yeah.
And like I say, I've been really busy working for a long time. And one of the things I've committed to this year is I want to get out in the garden more. So I've got a big piece of land here. And last year I didn't get to go out in the garden. So I'm committed that this year I'm going to spend a few minutes every day, even if it's just like trimming a rose bush or cutting a lawn or moving a few slabs or something. I want to be out there doing that.
Yeah.
And you have just reminded me that when I was a child, I'd forgotten about this. I loved The Secret Garden. I loved watching the film of that. And I just wanted a little bit of earth of my own. And I always remember saying, like, my parents would ask, like, if we ever won the lottery, what would you want? And I always used to say, I wanted a bit of garden of my own to plant things, and I wanted a pet rabbit.
Yeah.
But I've got that garden now, and I haven't been using it to the best of my abilities because stuff has got in the way, sort of those expectations or those external pressures. So it is that going back to my inner child and my inner self, isn't it? So
I bet that lights you up when you are out there.
It doesn't even talk about it. I see I've got a big grin on my face now, and I'm thinking, oh, thank you for that, because it's just helped me make that extra connection rather than I need to go out and do this. I think it'll be good to get in the sunlight and in the garden. Mm. It's now made me see it's a greater part of who I am.
Yeah,
So thank you. That's really interesting. And I think what you were saying before as well about that, you went back to being that lovely little girl inside. I think that self-care and nurture is so important, isn't it? For bringing that out.
Yeah, massively. I think you can go two ways when you've had traumatic things. You can go on down that path and it can get darker, or you can repeat those things, or you can let it be the thing that guides you.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when I was going down there and I was bitter and I was angry and I was a victim and it was, you know, everyone else's fault. And it took me a while to get out of that. But when I got out of it, my goodness, it's helped me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful every day. And sometimes I even have to remind myself where you were
yeah.
and where you are now. You know, that's incredible mm-hmm. what you've done. You know, so never, ever, ever think that, you know, I don't even know what I'm trying to say here, but I think sometimes I forget how far I've actually come.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm always trying to get further along.
Yeah.
But it's a good reminder, you know.
Mm.
It's been huge. When I think about what my life could have been,
yep.
could have very easily been as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a different life. And I'm really, really grateful that I did that work.
Yeah.
And had someone that actually guided me to mm-hmm. it. Because if I'd never met that person, I don't think I'd ever done anything differently.
Yeah.
And I probably would have just stayed with those kind of victim thoughts mm-hmm. and like the world's out to get me and oh, life's hard, you know, all these things. But actually, I'm where I am now because I took a leap of faith.
Yep.
I dealt with the feelings that I had,
mm-hmm.
released them, and then it enabled me to be the best version of me, which yep. sounds cheesy, but you really do become the best kind of person that you can be when you get rid of all those heavy mm-hmm. feelings.
Most definitely. And then I think when you're the best version of yourself, then you're able to give more to other people.
Yes.
Which makes you more loving, it makes you more giving, it makes you more of service, it makes you more part of community, it helps with relationships. It just improves everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like I say, I always think that it's made me a better mum, a better wife. You know, the things I do with my son,
mm-hmm.
I just think I would have loved that as a child myself. So I know that, you know, and he's very much sure in himself. He's very happy. And mm-hmm. that for me is just, you know, to know that he's got that mm-hmm. is just so nice. And it's nice that I'm able to give him
yeah.
that little bit extra.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. So obviously we're almost coming to the time where this ends. Before we go, have you got any last words of guidance or wisdom that you could impart to our audience today?
So my last words of guidance, if you're in a dark place or you're in a place where you just feel like you can't break through that barrier, find someone that can help you get where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't settle for less. Don't think that you have to put up with heavy feelings. Don't think that you have to be stuck. There are options out there. There are tons of people that are highly qualified, that can help you, you know, and even just sitting with yourself, there's so much that you can do just by checking in with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would just take that leap of faith.
Amazing. And obviously, before you go, if anybody wants to work with you or get into contact with you, whereabouts can they find you?
So you can find me on Facebook at Aura Wellbeing, which is ORAH, mm-hmm. Wellbeing. And aurawellbeing.co.uk. And I'm also on Instagram, aura_wellbeing. So you can find me at any of those places.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I've really enjoyed our conversation. And it's just been lovely over the years just to keep dipping in and out and seeing your growth. So well done.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our audience for listening today. Take care and I shall speak to you again soon. Bye-bye for now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you subscribe. If you would like to find out more about the therapies that we provide and the training we offer, please visit our website, www.tranquil-awakenings.co.uk. You can also find us on social media.